Good afternoon and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. My guest this week speaking to us by phone from his office is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes, and we would, of course, love to have your phone calls for him during our next half hour. You can call us at 496-1999. You can send an email to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, Mr. Mayor, let me first ask a question which will kind of get you off the hook for not being on this show last month. Tell me something you have learned since getting married or on your honeymoon that you were going to take with you and use in your day-to-day duties in your next term as mayor.
Well, Stan, first and foremost, greetings from Hot Dog Land. It's great to be on the show today, as always. So, yes, I just celebrated my one-month anniversary with my beautiful wife. And Stan, through this time, I've found there's two words, and I should probably just go ahead and get them tattooed on my arm. I think it's a big benefit to having a healthy marriage, and that is yes, dear, or yes, honey.
You're absolutely right.
I think
right.
As long
yes.
as I can focus on saying those things and being there for her, the better shot we have.
Seems like a sensible way to approach constituents as well, wouldn't you say?
Well, there's always a balance there, and you know, the love and compassion that and the work that I'm now learning from my marriage, because another thing I've learned, Stan, is marriage, it's 8 days a week of work, and Samantha makes me a better listener, she makes me a better leader and a better person. So in all honesty, the life lessons that I'll learn through growing my love and marriage with my new wife will most definitely, I hope, help me be a better and more effective leader for the city that I love.
Does your wife plan to have any regular duties or responsibilities now that she's officially Frankfort's First Lady? Is there any way that you're going to try to involve her?
Well, I'll tell you, Stan, Samantha, she's a hot commodity right now. Of course, there's a lot of boards that are reaching out to her, and I certainly don't blame them. She's a very bright young lady that has a lot of energy and a lot of vision herself. She really is the brains in this operation, no doubt about it. She's focusing her efforts on the Paul Felipe Resource Center, helping our senior citizens there, and she's also serving on the board of the public library. She was talking to me 3 nights ago, and in this restoration effort of Old Stoney, and Samantha loves Halloween, so we're planning a fundraising event here at Old Stoney this fall in which we have a haunted house tour of Old Stoney for the kids of Frankfort. So she's already embracing this role, and just like me, simply wants to be a servant leader and give back to the city of Frankfort, which I love her to death for that.
Now that we're kind of in the middle of summer here, I wanted to get back to something you and I were talking about a little less than a year ago, which was the TPA Park swimming pool. And a lot of people, I think, will remember the nasty incident that happened last year where a young man drowned. I wanted to re-engage you on the pool and its future. We talked about a year ago that you were looking for some new management of the pool, a new operator. Are you convinced that the problems that led to last year's death have been fixed? Are you satisfied with the way it's now being run a year later?
Sure. Well, thanks for that question, Stan. What happened last summer was an absolute tragedy. I think it will stick with this community for the rest of our existence. I will certainly never forget that time. And I want to emphasize, our community is a safe community. Unfortunately, in the world we live in, accidents do happen. This was one of those tragic accidents that we all had to learn from. And, of course, there's always things that you can do better. So we took a hard look at our pool operations because it is a bright spot in our community. It's a huge recreational asset in our community. And we decided that in terms of working internally on these issues, we would not only do that, but we would also market the pool to a professional company that does this for a living, that manages pools in a nationally accredited manner. And so we've done that. So we have a pool management company that's overseeing the operations of the pool. You know, Stan, I have visited the pool multiple times this summer, and the thing I love about this company is they do the small things right. You know, their motto of eyes on the water at all times, no matter whether we have 2 swimmers or 200 swimmers, we always have at least 3 lifeguards looking at the pool at any given time, along with a pool manager that is roaming the perimeter of the pool. I've also been very impressed with the clarity of the water. It's literally like you were going to the Mediterranean. We did have have the surface of the pool repainted as well over the off season and did some structural upgrades. So I do believe we have a better situation this year, and the pool is open for business, and the kids are having a blast.
We've talked also about the city's push to generate some more revenue. Are there any revenue-generating pressures on the pool this year to meet goals in terms of the money it brings in?
Sure. So a rule of thumb, Stan, every year, the council and I, we know the pool's going to lose money. It's one of those quality of life aspects of our community that we believe justifies a tax subsidy to increase the quality of life and add that quality of place that we're all looking for. You know, our rates, our daily cost is $3 a person with kids 2 and younger. They get in free. A single season pass, I believe, is $40. A family pass for 4 people is $100. So as a rule of thumb, with the upkeep and the maintenance of the pool, we expect it to lose roughly $50,000 a year. So we budget appropriately through the Parks Department, and as long as the City Council continues to support this quality of life amenity within the City of Frankfort, we will continue to fund it accordingly.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Give us a call. 496-1999 is the telephone number. You can send an email to ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. There was an interesting story in the Frankfort Times recently about a 20-year-old woman who's taken over the operation of a local flower shop that's been in town there for a long time. And the young woman had gone off to IU Kokomo, didn't feel that college was for her, came back to her hometown, kind of like you did, and decided to put down some roots and try and do something in the community. And that was an interesting idea to me, especially as you get ready to win re-election there. Tell me about whether you, as a 20-something mayor, can position Frankfort as a place where more people like this 20-year-old woman can become entrepreneurs. Is there a way you can use your second term to try to encourage especially relatively young people, young professionals, to be the ones who are investing in the future of that community?
Yeah, great question. That's an astute observation, Stan. And actually, just yesterday, we had the ribbon cutting for Knox Flowers, and you're speaking of a young lady by the name of Erin. And I just, you know, just like I told her yesterday at the ribbon cutting, she's the reason that I have hope and faith in Frankfort right there. If we could have 10 more of those scenarios, we will be heading on the right path for sustainable growth. And Erin, she runs a professional operation. It's not just a young person that wanted to throw a business together. When you go into Knox Flowers, it's clean, it's crisp, it's professional. She does a great job, and we wish them nothing but the best. So not only do we have a young person, but we have a model young person. So I have a couple thoughts on this, because I think you bring up a salient point. If we don't start getting our young people engaged and empowered in our communities, then we won't have sustainable growth. So a couple thoughts. First and foremost, I think you have to empower them. So what we've done is we've set up the Frankfort Future Leaders Council. And so I, as mayor, work with roughly 15 high school students every year. And these kids, they range from freshman to senior. And we bring in the Robert Greenleaf Servant Leadership Academy. We bring in guest speakers that give them those fundamental concepts of leadership. And then we start empowering. For example, they attended our downtown revitalization study planning session roughly a month ago. So they could give us their ideas. What would they like to see in our downtown? How could we strategically invest tax dollars so that they would go home and say, you know what, there's stuff to do in Frankfort. No offense, but we don't have to go to Tippecanoe County. We can stay in Clinton County. So I think that's first and foremost. We continue to empower them. And I'm even going to take that a step further. In the budget process this year, I am going to try to bring a sound argument to the council to give that Frankfort Future Leaders Advisory Council a small budget line item so that they actually can oversee a small quality of life project in our community. So they have some skin in the game to say, you know what? Hey, I made a positive impact in Frankfort. And then I think we've got to do a better job as community leadership, and this is something I need to work with our school system on. we need to be tracking our graduates in a more effective manner. So after they graduate and after they leave Frankfurt, we need to check in with them. We need to see where they're at in their degree process. We need to see what they majored in. We need to find out what kind of jobs they're looking for. And then I can work with people like the Chamber of Commerce to say, okay, Maggie, she just finished up at Purdue University. She has a human resources degree, and she's looking at going to Indianapolis. But I know as a community leader that NTK is looking for a person like this. Then we as community leaders need to do a better job of connecting Maggie with those job opportunities in the city. And then I think the third prong of this is, Stan, we have to continue to focus on housing. We need to brush up what we have. We need to bring more downtown living opportunities so our young people have those quaint, chic, modern living opportunities that really draw them to the community. So jobs and housing and empowering them, I think, will lead to success. Now, this will be a long-term process, but every single step helps.
So how do you get people, especially young professionals like the woman you hypothesized there, to come back to their hometown rather than going to an Indianapolis or a Chicago? What is the sort of wow factor that's going to make them seem excited to come back to Frankfurt?
Sure. Great question. So I think there's multiple things that hit on a young person's decision to relocate to a community. I think, again, it goes back to the job. It goes back to a good-paying job that meets the degree requirements that they accomplished in that post-secondary educational situation. I think you have to have crisp housing. I think we have to continue to focus on that to give them those housing opportunities. I also think you have to have those quality of life amenities. So when we talk about the TPA pool, yes, we lose money theoretically on the TPA pool every year. We know it's never going to be a moneymaker, nor is it intended to be a moneymaker. But things like that are important in a young person's eyes. And just like how we plugged in the Frankfurt Future Leaders Advisory Council into our downtown revitalization planning session, we've got to continue to do that. So as we create this bold new vision for our downtown, and if it's a pocket park, if it's multiple water features, if it's a splash pad, we have to go back to them, because you know as well as I do, when you have quality of life amenities and you want to move a big project, sometimes you get resistance from the general public, and that's something new for a community of our size to think about investing in things such as that. But if we can make the pitch and we can make the sell that by doing these, it's a strategic investment so that we can attract back our young people, that's how we make it stick, and that's what we have to continue to work on.
I've talked a lot with both you and Mayor Barton in Crawfordsville about trying to improve that quality of life and try to add those amenities, and I think about the motocross track that Crawfordsville has added. I think about the youth sports park that's been added down in Westfield. Those are both designed to be high-profile, attention-getting projects that will draw people to the community. As far as I can tell, you don't have much like that at this point. Don't you need something that's going to be a big public relations boon for your city, something like those projects?
I think it's time to make that investment. And over the past 4 years, Stan, I think it was important for our community just to understand that we can be successful. Our community has been stagnant for so many years. So getting those wins like Ivy Tech, like ConAgra, Wabash National, Indiana Packers in the first 4 years, I think showed our community, you know what, we can play with the big boys. We can move our community forward. Now that we've done all that, we're getting our fundamental house in order. We're investing properly into roadways. We're working with our utilities. Our utilities are finally starting to get in the black after years of operating in the red. That's a $45 million business. So we had to get our house in order there. So now that we have all these fundamental things happening, we're getting our public safety departments back up to the standards of where they need to be. We're investing in Old Stoney. I agree with you. Now's the time to set a bold vision for quality of life in Frankfurt, and I think it starts in our downtown. So as we go through this downtown revitalization plan, at the end of this, I expect to have a community census on that wow project, whatever that may be, whether it be an outdoor amphitheater, whether it be a nice, quaint, technologically sound splash pad in our downtown, whether it be an outdoor movie theater in our downtown, we have to have that standalone aspect that places that hook into people, that lets them know that Frankfurt is not only a safe place to live and a good place to have a job, but it's a place that has an outstanding quality of life as well. And I'm ready to push for that.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. My guest this week is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We'd love to have your questions for him. 496-1999 is the telephone number. You can email us at ask@WBAA.org. You can also tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. You mentioned the stagnation of the community, and you and I have talked on this show a number of times about how the population of Frankfort has been relatively constant for a long time now. And I was looking recently at changes to cities like Whitestown, which is not all that far from you, but Whitestown has been the fastest growing city in Indiana 4 years running. They grew 25% year over year in 2014. And I got to thinking about you guys. If you were to grow 25% to get up to around 20,000 people, that gets you to near the size of a LaPorte or a Greenfield to give people a sense of what that size would be like population wise. What would that do for you? And would just adding that tax base be enough to get those extra, say, 4,000 residents? Because now people are paying property taxes, they're paying sales taxes in the community, they're supporting more local businesses. Is it in some ways as simple as trying to go the Whitestown route and grow yourself? Or does it have to be an addition beyond that of, say, giving tax breaks to young people to start their local businesses and then trying to do it from the business first rather than from population additions first?
Sure. Well, Whitestown's done an excellent job, and the thing that Whitestown really has going for it is not only have they made strategic investments, but being one of those donut counties, they're experiencing that growth that's coming from Marion County. And, you know, I truly believe, Stan, that that's going to eventually get to us. The thing that Frankfort has that really sets us apart, I believe, is our industrial park. And the growth we've seen there over the past 4 years, preparing ourselves for industrial and commercial growth is going to be a key in terms of growing our population. Because here's the thing, I don't want to just say, you know what, we want to grow our population by 2,000 people in the next 10 years. I want smart population growth. We need to be attracting the types of jobs to Frankfort that help rebuild the middle class. I want people that have the ability to go downtown and support our local businesses. And I think that's key. And I think that's why these mundane things like investing properly into our utility infrastructure, increasing the capacity of our wastewater treatment plant, continuing to increase the capacity of our ability to produce water in the city of Frankfort to our industries, while at the same time driving off of our economic development plan to create not only jobs in our city, but good jobs, will help lead to population growth, while at the same time thinking about quality of life, thinking about housing. All of these things have to happen in a concurrence. And so you have to balance those incentives, because you also have to think about more individuals mean more services. So we want to continue to grow public safety so we can provide that safe atmosphere that people want to live, work, and play.
So you've got a fairly traditional setup there where you mentioned the industrial park, and you've talked on this program a number of times about the big companies like ConAgra, like Indiana Packers, and there are a lot of jobs at those companies that I think people would associate with a relatively rural community like Frankfort that pops up in the middle of a bunch of fields that surround it. But don't you need different sorts of jobs? Don't you need more, and forgive me for putting it this way, 21st century feeling jobs that are either tech jobs, or they are popping up because you've had people who are starting their own companies? I mean, don't you need to get away from the mindset of this is an old railroad town that survives on the large manufacturers in the industrial park?
Sure. Well, I think the first important thing to note is Frankfort is moving forward. We really have redefined ourselves in the past 4 years. Now we're known as the city that feeds the state, that feeds the world. And it's important to note that simple manufacturing jobs aren't the same today as they were 50 years ago. Manufacturing has turned incredibly technical. So the jobs that we have provided through expansions like Frito-Lay and NHK and now ConAgra Foods and Wabash National, they are good-paying jobs. And we vet those things. Our city council council and myself, we're not going to bring an incentive package to the table unless you're creating a good job. But I agree with you. I think diversification in terms of employment opportunities are incredibly important. You know, I'd love to see an R&D facility that was bouncing around in that biochemical realm come to Frankfort. And there's no reason why we can't push to have that happen. I'll give you a specific example. The tech group in our industrial park is doing some fantastic things in terms of building medical equipment, 21st century cutting-edge medical equipment. So how can we partner with them to attract more scientists, more biologists to come to Frankfort and say, you know what, we're going to drive off of what we already have to create more job diversification, and we'll continue to do that.
You've got just a few more minutes to ask your questions of Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes on Ask the Mayor today. Call us at 496-1999 or send an email to ask@wbaa.org. I wanted to mention to you also the Regional Cities Initiative. This is something that the governor had proposed and the legislature passed this year. I know that Greater Lafayette and Crawfordsville economic development officials are putting together are spearheading a West Central Indiana plan. Are you guys part of that at all?
Yes, we absolutely have been talking about joining the regional cities effort. Stan, I'm a huge proponent of regional planning. What's good for Lafayette and West Lafayette is good for Frankfort and vice versa. And I think this is perhaps more salient now than ever. You know, as tax caps have affected local communities across the state, we have to find very creative ways to stretch our resources to make more happen. So if we can plan in a regional sense, and if those planning opportunities open us up to more federal-level grant opportunities that will allow us to stretch our dollars even further, that's incredibly important. So not only is the City of Frankfort working with places like Tippecanoe County on the Regional Cities Initiative, but we're also reaching out and partnering with North Central Indiana, so Howard County, Carroll County, on their initiatives. Because, again, in order to invest strategically into infrastructure, we have to know what our neighbors are doing in terms of that infrastructure and workforce development.
So one of the things that's going to help one of these plans succeed, I think, is a unifying theme. And as I think about Greater Lafayette and Crawfordsville and down into Greencastle, you've got this line along 231 of a bunch of different college communities. You guys could easily play into that with your Ivy Tech campus. Is that the way you'd like to go? Would you like to position yourself as part of an educated, young, kind of hip West Central Indiana that looks forward? Or do you think it's more along the lines of what I think a Kokomo would be, which is, look, we are not the old manufacturing we used to be. That's certainly something that you and Kokomo have in common. We are now transitioning into the manufacturers of the 21st century. Does one of those approaches appeal to you more than the other?
Well, Stan, just my brief experience in the past 4 years, I can tell you site selectors are incredibly, incredibly intrigued by the workforce development opportunities of a particular site. They want to know that when they bring these high-tech jobs in, that we have the ability to grow and create a workforce that can fill those jobs in an effective manner. So I think it would be very strategic for this region of the state of Indiana to focus on our educational capability, what Ivy Tech is doing here locally, what the great University of Purdue is doing in West Lafayette. We have to tap into those resources. And at the same time, you know, I think we continue to market the quaintness of the Midwest. You know, we have a small town feel, but we have big city sophistication. And we have to keep pumping our location in terms of a national sense with our location to Chicago, Indianapolis, St. Louis. Really, individuals are within a 12-hour drive of 80% of the United States of America's population in our location. And if we can continue to increase our utilities capacity, again, Frankfort, we have a great water supply. So how can we work with various regional cities to leverage that opportunity as well? When you package all of those things together, we make a very, very strong statement that this region is open for business. And the more that we can collaborate as leaders, the more jobs we will create, the more people we will attract, and ultimately, the stronger the Hoosier State will be.
While we're on the subject of trying to win grants, Clinton County, I know, is part of a group of counties that's trying to share in about $500,000 or so in a grant that the Lilly Endowment has put up. Can you tell us a little bit about how that's working?
Sure. So two nights ago, unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend this meeting. I was at a Frankfort Main Street meeting, but we did have leaders that talked with that Greater Lafayette Regional Committee, and we discussed in a SWOT scenario what the strengths and weaknesses are of our opportunity, and also the opportunities and the threats. So I believe that we're making our voice heard. We have a seat at that table, and hopefully through that regional planning initiative, it will open up more grant opportunities as we move further down the road.
Are you looking for money for anything specifically out of this grant? In other words, if you were to get some of this money, do you have an idea where it might go?
Well, Stan, I think going back to those quality of life initiatives, depending on what comes out of our downtown revitalization plan, I see monies hopefully being funneled that direction. And also going back to this idea of utilities, I want to continue to try to increase our water capacity as well as our wastewater treatment capacity. I think those are two key fundamental issues that affect Frankfort and affect the region, because it gives us that opportunity to continue to create a better manufacturing environment here in Clinton County.
In just our last couple of minutes, I wanted to address with you one of the issues of the day. Mike Pence is set to formally announce his reelection bid at a dinner this evening. This, as a poll this week from a Republican pollster, shows that a majority of Hoosiers are actually disapproving of the governor's job performance, at least at this point. You have been complimentary of him on this program and on how he has helped to view Frankfort. What is your feeling? Do you support a second term for Governor Pence?
Well, I think we have a ways to go. I think it's very early in the process. I mean, I'm sitting here and we're still focusing on municipal elections this year. And my number one job is to grow the city of Frankfort, not only in the eyes of our community, but in the eyes of the state of Indiana. I'm going to work with whatever governor we have in the governor's mansion. There's no doubt about that, because that best behooves my constituency. It's going to be interesting to see how Governor Pence comes out of these past few months. I think he has time to turn the corner. But just like anything else in life, no one is irreplaceable. There's always going to be someone on your heels wanting to do what you're doing, wanting to prove to the people of the state of Indiana that they can do a better job. And I think the differentiating factor is simply a lot of hard work. So it's going to be interesting for me, not only as mayor, but simply as a taxpayer and a voter, to observe state leadership, not only in the governor's mansion, but amongst our legislature over the next year and a half, as we move into this next election cycle.
Now, let me ask you your opinion as a registered Republican. Would you like to see other possible GOP contenders in that primary race so that there is a discussion about what principles your party might carry into the 2016 election?
I understand that. The one thing that worries me about primary fights is, Stan, I don't want to weaken our opportunity to get a conservative back in the governor's mansion. So we should be very, very careful about that. You know, I think the party will have internal discussions. Of course, we'll let democracy play out. But the most important thing I think every Republican in the state of Indiana wants is to hold that conservative executive power in the governor's mansion. And no matter who has that nomination after May of next year, I'll work very hard for them in order to give us that opportunity.
Now, lastly, in just our last few seconds, a little bit further from home, what about the presidential race? There's a large field establishing itself of GOP contenders there. You got an early favorite?
Oh, goodness. You know, I'm sitting there, and I'm up till about 2 o'clock in the morning two nights ago watching the Donald make his announcement. It's starting to get a little crazy. I'll tell you, I'm reading a book right now called One Nation by Ben Carson, and I'm very intrigued by this candidate. I'm intrigued by the fact that he seems like he's just simply an educated leader that wants the best for our country and not necessarily a politician. Most definitely, I believe our country needs to go in a new direction in terms of foreign policy and economic policy here on the home front. So there's a lot of fighting left to do amongst the Republicans, a lot of time to make the decision. But right now, Stan, I got to tell you, this month, I'm intrigued by this candidate by the name of Ben Carson. So it'll be interesting to see how we move forward there.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mr. Mayor. We appreciate it. We'll do it again next month.
Stan, thanks. I hope you have a great week.
This has been Ask the Mayor. I'm Stan Jastrzebski.
Support for Ask the Mayor on WBAA comes from your membership and Butler, Fairman & Seifert, a civil engineering firm providing communities with professional expertise and guidance. Butler, Fairman & Seifert, civil engineering solutions for better communities.